The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, wherever you are on our most lovely planet. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
Welcome.
Just to warn you,
yes,
we finish each other's sentence.
We do.
And welcome to
Being Here. Hey,
and
today's show
is called The Thrill of Discovery.
It is thrilling when you discover something.
Yeah.
Provided you say yes to it.
That's true.
Otherwise, it's like the, oh,
yes,
no.
If you're a life, then life is this thrilling discovery. If you're a no, it's like a bad ride in an amusement park.
Yeah. You know, in our description for this show, we said, engage in the present moment and the world around you becomes anew. And it's really the case. And
really,
we'll talk about it today. And the best thing to do if you want your world to become anew yet again is listening.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. I look out our window and the light has changed since the last time I looked out the window. And then I realize the light is always changing. I mean, if it's sunny, there are clouds that move across the sun. But and if it's gray, it's a shade of gray. Life is constantly changing if you're here for it, but if you're lost in your thoughts or trying to get somewhere, wow, you miss out on so much.
It becomes same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Well, let's talk about listening.
There is no such thing as same old in listening. For instance, Shai and I have been doing Monday Night Alive, or a variation thereof, for years. It used to be
maybe
on Wednesdays.
25 years now.
And each Monday, this is just to use an example,
is unique.
And we're talking about the same things. In fact, if you go through all of the archived radio shows, which I recommend, you don't have to go through all of them. Some people do. Some people love to go through them in order. Some people pick and choose and find
a topic
du jour.
That works for them.
And if you listen to us talk about listening, it is never the same. We're always talking about the skill set of listening and hearing what is said from another person's perspective.
And in order to do that, if, for instance, I have to stop thinking about what I want to say next to hear what Ariel's saying, or anybody else for that matter. I have to be open to hearing something that I don't either agree with or disagree with, but allow myself to hear what that other person is saying so I can see through their eyes.
And if you don't, you'll hear, and I put "hear" in quotes, you'll hear what you expect, not what is actually being said.
You'll hear your interpretation of what they're saying. You won't hear what they're saying. I mean, I can't tell you how many times somebody says to me, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I know they missed the point.
Or recently, we had a woman come to one of our evenings, and I know she thought she was listening, but really she was listening through an agenda of how to promote her business. So everything went through the mill of me, and then came back out, fed through, you know, telling people why they should hire her, or I have this going on or that going on. And so people never felt heard. When you simply listen for the sake of listening, pulls you into the moment.
And it pulls the person you're listening to into the moment along with you.
And as that happens, you have the opportunity to discover the moment anew.
And you discover who's actually there, not the, through the filter that most of us live our lives through.
You know, as I'm listening to Shia here, we spend the better part of our days together and our nights together, too.
Yay.
Yay. And it's like when I listen, it's not the concept, Shia. There's this whole incredible being.
Come.
Yes? Oh, my gosh.
This magnificent buck in our backyard looking at us.
And we're looking at him.
Wow.
Oh,
talk about discovering in the moment.
Gosh.
He's got to have 8 points there. Yeah, he's
and
an eight-point buck.
He's standing like a statue right now because he sees us seeing him.
Yes.
Wow.
Amazing.
That is pretty cool.
So, it's hard to continue with this talk.
Well, as Shai was saying, you know, you look out the window, you can either expect to see something, what you've seen a moment before, and then you're actually not seeing what's there.
What
that
a magnificent creature.
Wow. Yeah,
he's
go back to eat our azaleas. he's definitely an eight-point buck. We will sacrifice a few azaleas.
Oh, yeah,
that
azaleas. He can have some azaleas.
Being.
He can even have some hydrangeas.
There he goes. So, that's listening. Thank you for listening to us and coming with us on that journey.
That was excellent. That was
excellent. You know, there are three principles to instantaneous transformation. Let's talk about them. It's always a great place to start.
First one is anything you resist will persist, will grow stronger, and it will dominate your life. Anything that you say no to will stick around.
And by the way, since we're talking about discovery, anything you're resisting gets between you and discovering anything new, because it becomes the forefront of your thoughts. It becomes the forefront of your experience. So if your life is feeling kind of blah, chances are there's something you're resisting. What you resist persists.
Absolutely.
Follows you into your life.
Absolutely.
Second principle is you can only be exactly as you are right now or in any given moment. So if your life happens to be blah right now, it's the only way it can be.
So enjoy it. Because if you do, it won't last. That's the third principle.
Anything you allow to be exactly as it is, even including blahness,
will complete itself.
Especially the instant you see it without judging it.
Oh, my, yes.
That's the third principle. Yeah, you know, we didn't resist that buck, and he wandered away.
Right. Well, I was so... It gave me such an adrenaline shot because we're talking about 50 feet from us and looking down on him. It was amazing.
It was like a painting. Okay.
You know, there was a poet, St. John de la Cruz, St. John of the Cross. He was a Franciscan monk, and he wrote poetry, and one of his poems talked about something I don't know that I will come on randomly. You know, we know so much that we filter our lives through what we know, and we miss this random moment of exquisite, and that was one of those random moments of exquisite.
That actually happened not too long ago. Shai and I went out to the river, and we've gone there many times. We have a river near our home. And we were standing on the bridge looking down, and we were looking in wonder at the giant carp that come at certain times of the year, and that's kind of why we went. We like looking at fish. And lo and behold, this huge, at first I thought it was a shark,
was coming up the river.
It was a sturgeon. It must have been like
7 feet long.
Yeah, 7, 8 feet. I mean, it was mondo, and it was moving, and it was prehistoric, and it was like, how does it fit in that water? And you know, when you're here for your life and you're actually looking, you never know what you're going to see.
Right. But if you're lost in your thoughts,
you know,
that's the second principle. See, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So if you're lost in your thoughts, you miss out on life as it's happening around you.
You know, Shai told me a story about something he said when he was age 6. And he's going to tell you about it because I still think it's so
amusing. I remember my having this thought, how can anyone invent everything new when I already know everything there is?
So, and that's a six-year-old mindset. It's a very sophomoric mindset. But I really think that as we go through life, a lot of people are like, well, I know everything already, or you get defensive because you've been socialized to think that you're stupid or don't look stupid or you don't...
If you don't know something, then that's a flaw rather than it's an attribute. You know, we went to Princeton University once with a friend of ours who was a physicist, and we went to their physics lab where they studied paranormal events.
Like the effects of thoughts on random generating machines.
And one of the people, one of the professors there who introduced what they were doing to us said that they have children come on tours, and they ask them this question: what do you need to do to be a scientist?
What's the most important thing?
And the kids gave their answers.
Be smart, go to school, get good grades. But the answer is to not know.
To be willing to not know. Because most of us are constantly proving what we know, so we don't really see or hear.
And the scientist affects the experiment.
That's right. So what you're looking for, you'll find, even if it's not there.
We have a caller. Shall we take him?
Yes, we should.
Hi, George. Are you with us?
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
I'm a first-time caller, but I met you guys around 3 years ago in New York.
Uh-huh.
It was a Monday night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so when you guys came at a perfect time of my life because at that time I had a failed business and I was doubting myself.
A failed business and you were doubting yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a daughter and I was in that search how to be a better father, how to be a better businessman.
Yes.
And then, and also the problem I had, it was I was multitasking. I was multitasking to the end, so I was continually always tired, couldn't focus on anything. So then I discovered this, the concept of, you know, relax, try to be present, and just listen.
Yes.
And then I started testing it with my daughter, just listening who she was, you know, what she really wanted, and even listening at people at work or an interview, what do they really need without having any prejudgment.
Yeah.
And
right.
It was very profound because I could see the change in a couple of months.
That's
it was great.
Great.
So and,
do you have a question?
Yeah, the question is, sometimes I see myself falling back in stressful environments with friends. With friends, I always try to be present, have a clear mind, don't try to second guess what they're saying. But when I'm at work in stressful environments, sometimes I fall back and try to think again. I think I know what they mean. I think I know what they're saying. This.
Well, first of all, George, that's normal. And then the second thing is one of the things that Shai and I were looking at today when we we're working out the details of the show, is what gets between us, me, you, all of us, and that thrill of discovery. And each of us has an internal governor, and the internal governor gets activated differently in different situations. And one of the things that you may want to look at is how you've been trained in regards to work, where you may be wanting to look good or not be stupid or get ahead, or there may be people around you also who are judging themselves, and then you kind of pick up that way of relating, and then you judge what you have to say rather than simply say what you have to say.
If somebody is judging you, you won't be as able to express yourself because you'll feel their judgments. So then you'll be trying to do it right. You know, you'll be trying to fit into what, you know, you want them to like you, and then you'll judge what you have to say so it fits, so they'll like you better.
Yeah, and sometimes it might be even, it might not, sometimes my friends tell me, relax, you just need to relax. They're not even judging me. I'm myself doing, you know, putting all the dialogue, whereas it might come from the, you know, I come from Venezuela, and there the job environment was different. It was more like bureaucratic. It was different. Here's more relaxed, more laid back. Let's have a little fun at work. Yes,
right.
You're right. It's just even my friends tell me just sit back and relax a little bit.
Well, I think that's great that you see that, George, because each of us have been enculturated. We come from a culture, and then if you want to be present in your life, sometimes you need to compensate for the current from that culture. So if your culture is driving you forward in a way, you may need to relax. Other people may have been trained to lay back, and what they need to do is get into gear in order to be in sync with their life. So each of us is different.
Yeah, and it's easy, George, to get lost in your thoughts about your life, and then you miss your life because your thoughts go by and you get engaged in them. And, you know, it's like when the telephone rings and you're speaking to somebody and you pick up the phone and are speaking to the person on the phone, and then you can't hear either conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that? If somebody asks you a question when you're on the phone, then you lose both conversations.
Or you're talking to somebody and you happen to glance over and your emails or something written catches your eye, then suddenly you're not there for either conversation.
Right. So the thing is, if you're here in the current moment, life becomes this exquisite experience.
It's vibrant.
And if you're thinking about other things, you miss the current moment of your life. And the big one is judging yourself, picking on yourself.
You know, we have to go to a break now. Can you come back with us after the break?
Definitely.
Excellent. We are talking about the thrill of discovery. We're here with George. We'll be back.
So come on back. And don't miss being here.
This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. Transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. You are invited to New York City for Living a Complaint-Free, Drama-Free Life. It's October 26th, 27th, 28th. It's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. We have people traveling in from all over the world. No
so
places.
You can travel in, too.
It's not too far or too close. So, you know, if you're in New Jersey or Connecticut or Long Island, you can come in as well. Manhattan, it's all fine.
Brooklyn even is allowed.
By the way,
Staten Island.
If you are coming, I highly recommend that you stretch your schedule so that October 29th you're available to be in for a Monday Night Alive as well. We're doing a special video event on practical enlightenment. A little closer at hand, this Friday we are at Say Yes to Your Life, London, from 7 to 9 at Quantum House. And if
go
you're
up to our website, I imagine, to find out where that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, transformationmadeeasy.com. We're talking with George. You with us?
Yes, I'm here.
You know, one of the things, George, is you said that you came to a Monday about 3 years ago. It had an impact. You became aware of your multitasking. You started listening to your daughter, and the effects were profound. I also
yes.
invite you to come on a more regular basis. There's something that happens with the continuity that
consistency
that makes it a lot easier not to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hold it in situations that are more challenging when you've gotten used to living a lifestyle of living in the moment. You know, living in the moment really is not an achievement. It's a lifestyle where you're discovering how to stay centered in your life moment by moment as a way of life rather than as to achieve, because you see it's not a one-time thing. It's a skill that you can learn and get better at.
You know, an analogy that comes to mind for me, Shai, is like if you were to swim regularly in a swimming pool and swim laps,
you'd get strong and you could go distance.
And then if you suddenly you went out into the ocean, it was more turbulent, first of all, you'd be stronger, and secondly, because you're a strong swimmer, you'd be less likely to panic. And panic is what really drowns people, and that's what drowns people at work. When they suddenly aren't there, a situation comes up.
And then they're worrying about the future and how it's going to turn out, and then not there for the current
and
moment.
Then you sink and drown, to use
an analogy.
So that's just our personal invitation to you, George.
Yeah, thanks. I listen to you guys and the podcasting all the time, but I definitely need to go back to New York for the live feedback.
Yeah, that's great. I'll tell you something. I think this radio show is incredibly valuable. I hear the people. I resonate with the different people. But there's also something really to be said to be in a room immersed with people looking at the same thing.
And especially the community that has formed in New York that we work with, the community of people there. They're amazing, amazing people, and they're really looking at how to make the most out of this life.
So,
and we are great people, great friends.
Thank you, and thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Nice to re-meet you.
Yes.
Take care. Thanks.
You're welcome. Excellent. We have another caller.
Yes, we do. Efren, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome.
Great. Ariel and Chai, thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, our pleasure.
Really.
And I think the point you were making to George about coming to the Monday nights is a good one. My own experience is, you know, when I miss a few Mondays, I certainly notice, you know, my life feels a bit different than when I am more consistent with my Mondays and more focused on making transformation or being in the moment of lifestyle.
That's true. That's great.
Really?
You know, I know a lot of our listeners listen all over the world, and it doesn't mean that they can make it to Mondays. But I would look at our schedule upcoming and pick a weekend and come into New York, make the trip, or come in to Hamburg or London or wherever it is that we're working. And for those of you who really want to immerse yourself, we have our Costa Rican adventures. I know, Efren, you're coming for the first time this year
to
Costa Rica. I'm very excited for you because it's a place where you get to step out of your day-to-day concerns.
Right, and it's an immersion course in instantaneous transformation. So it's, you know, people go to countries like Costa Rica to study Spanish, so they do these immersion courses in Spanish where that's what's spoken. And in our workshops, transformation is spoken here.
You know, one of my favorite things, I have a prediction for you when you go there, speaking of thrill of discovery, once I get there, and, you know, we've worked there for many years and now, and we walk up and down the same pathways where you're suddenly walking along and you see this, like, full-blown tree, and it's like, where did that come from? It's like something, my ability to perceive my environment always expands, and that is so awesome. And last year, the gardener showed me a hummingbird sitting on a hummingbird nest. That was really definitely
so
a thrill
of
discovery.
So Ariel got all these pictures of hummingbirds.
One of my passions. So do you have a question for us, sir?
Yeah, actually, Ariel, the point about sort of discovering the world is a good one, and I'm very attracted to this idea of the thrill of discovery. And going back to what Shai was saying earlier about the changes in light, and especially in your encounter with the buck in your backyard, that being in the moment and the thrill of discovery of the moment is one of my favorite, experiences of the experience of transformation. I mean, I love it when I can be in the moment, particularly when it comes around nature. I like to hike. My office is in Midtown near Bryant Park, so you know, when I can get away, I'll go take a walk in the afternoon. And sometimes even when I'm out in the country driving, I can really be in the moment and, you know, the trees seem greener, the sky seems bluer, everything seems more intense. And I treasure those moments. I love those moments. My question is, how does one extend those moments?
By not trying to extend
That's
them.
That's right, by not trying to extend them. See, if you're trying to extend them, then you're manipulating or attempting to manipulate how your life is showing up.
And you've identified them as better than the ones that are a little more lackluster, and then you resist the, quote, lackluster ones. And then
you get stuck in a lackluster life because anything you resist persists.
So, like, if you're not having that wonder-filled moment, you can either compare it to one that is more vibrant, or you can get interested in it.
In where you are, not where you think would be better than where you are.
You know, like, I handled a lot of emails today. Seeing the buck was not better than the emails. There's a certain vibrancy about going about what you're doing. As if it's the only thing.
On one level, the book is so was so unexpected.
Yes.
I
do expect the emails.
The emails you expect, but if you don't resist what you have to do, what you have to do can be fun and enlivening.
Right.
But if you resist it, complain to yourself about it, don't want to, don't like it, I wish it were different, then you perpetuate the gloom and you don't have the possibility of what you're doing being an exquisite experience.
I think that's a good point. When I talk about going to Bryant Park in the afternoon, for example, I might be sitting in my office thinking about Bryant Park rather than what I'm doing in that moment.
Exactly. So then, of course, that moment loses its luster because you're in a conceptual thought loop about what is better.
But I guarantee you something, Efren. On the days when you're fully invested in your office and then you go to Bryant Park, you're probably more fully invested in the park. But on the days when you're thinking about what it's going to be like when you get to the park, you're probably in the park worrying about how soon you have to go back to work. It's still a future orientation.
That sounds eerily familiar.
Really familiar. Very good.
You know, so it's like if you really get invested in what you're doing, the park's going to be even sweeter.
That's right. Everything gets sweeter if you're willing to be where you are. But if you're worrying about how the future's going to turn out and you're trying to manipulate life to get to what you think will be better, you're going to get in trouble.
I like that more expansive view.
Yeah, you know, we were speaking to somebody recently who was being less than her own great self to try to hold a relationship together. And she recently called Ariel crying about how her boyfriend wanted to step back from the relationship. But she'd been spending a lot of her life energy trying to keep this relationship intact.
And trying to manipulate herself to be what he wanted.
That's right.
You know, it was interesting, though, Shai, I don't know if I told you this. I could tell, even if she wasn't aware, she was toggling back and forth between being deeply upset and wanting to get it back together and relief.
Right.
Relief that he was actually experiencing what she was experiencing.
Right, because, you know, it's been my experience that when a relationship ends, both people are done.
And one just has the courage to voice it.
Right. That doesn't mean that a relationship can't come back together and be brilliant, even though people have fallen
apart.
But in order to come back together, you have to give up being right about your point of view that it needs to go apart. You know, like if you're right that it's lost its luster, it's lost its luster. But if you're willing to be there in the lost luster, you can reignite the luster.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about sometimes at work you've been dreaming about Bryant Park, just as an example, Efren.
Yeah.
And if you take a look at that, oftentimes when that happens, we've forgotten the truth. The truth is that, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, and then you tell me for you, if I'm not feeling as alive about work, somewhere I'm telling myself a lie that it's not my idea and that this isn't the job I want to do, or somehow the circumstances become reconfigured in the mind to victimize us rather than...
As if we didn't choose the job.
And as if in any given moment we are living the life we choose. Wherever I am right now,
That's the life you've chosen right now.
That's the life I've chosen.
Yes.
Now, I could talk to myself and tell me, oh, I don't want to be here, but I obviously do because here I am.
Right.
And that's where that second principle of instantaneous transformation comes in. People think that things could be different. Well, you know, when you're at work, should be in Bryant Park. That's all you could be doing, but it certainly doesn't make work more palatable.
I don't know if you were there on a Monday a few weeks ago, but Betty came back from having been on sabbatical in Hawaii.
Were you there for that one?
I was, yes.
And she was talking about, I got there and it wasn't my Hawaii. There were rats and I got shingles. And she discovered that her idea of what it was going to be like to be there and the reality
were very different.
And
when she made the reality her preference, rather than resist it, then suddenly she was in control of her life.
And it was magnificent.
Right. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that was a great example.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And, you know, yes.
Very cool.
No, but thank you. I mean, I think I really appreciate this conversation. It's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I am excited for you because, you know, just that little thing that we said or we talked about how if you're wishing for the park, that the park is less vibrant, I think that once you get there, I think people often don't catch that little nuance. So they actually give themselves license to daydream about something else.
Well, I think that's the way most people are most of the time. They're fantasizing about some kind of future other than where they are. So where they are becomes a dull, dreary experience. And this fantasy future never really arrives.
But if you catch that being here in everything you do, well, for instance, set you up to have a great vacation if you're not dreaming of it before you get there. That's a really exciting thing to catch.
You know where I noticed that is when it comes to movies. I love movies, but if I read a review that's, you know, too appetizing, it can ruin the movie experience for me. If, on the other hand, I read a review that's somewhat mediocre and the movie turns out to be better than the way I perceived it, I enjoy the movie that much more.
Yeah. Hey, we have to go to a break. Can you come back with us?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. We'll be back shortly, everyone. So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Success, health, satisfaction, now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club. The Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. Transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes.
To Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. And speaking of being here, if you are enjoying Being Here, the show, why don't you share it? You can do all this electronic stuff like
Facebook and email it, tweet it. Send it to your friends. As we say in the commercials, transformation is a communicable ease. We're talking to Efren. And, Efren, you were still with us?
I'm still with you.
Good.
Hey, we really, really appreciate your calling in today.
Yes, we do.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, a treat to speak with you. It really is. So, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'll see you next Monday night.
All right. We'll be back on, we'll be back next Monday night. That's right. Because I'm looking at the date because we missed some. But, we'll be back on the 15th after our Hamburg and London adventures.
I hope so.
Okay, see you there.
Well.
Excellent. We have one more caller.
We have another caller. Eric.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent.
Are you in Massachusetts today?
I am. I am in Natick, Massachusetts, or as some people call it, New England. I've noticed that I attended the most recent weekend workshop, Transformation in the Workplace.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And since doing that, I know that a friend of ours, Gio, has this habit at the end of most of the seminars I've attended saying, this is the greatest seminar I've ever attended. And I feel like that is true. Why is that?
Because if you don't get in your own way, your life is an expanding adventure. So there's more of you available to experience what happens in a workshop each time you come. So if you're not in a place that's a contraction, but you're all, even if you are in a contraction, once you come out of it, it can be the best experience ever. But really,
if you're there for it, this moment is the best experience ever.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. I feel like so much has happened both during that, the Monday night after, and since then. There's been a... I thought I knew how to listen. Let's put it that way.
I absolutely love that because you've heard us talking about listening for quite a while.
Oh, years?
Yeah.
And also... many times during those years, not just weekends, which I've attended quite a few of, and Monday nights, which I've attended quite a few of, but this radio show, as a matter of fact, at least once every radio show, you talk about listening.
Right.
And if you made me, I could probably recite what you generally talk about with regard to listening.
Yes.
And, in fact, I host a once-a-month Say Yes to Your Life meetup group here in New England, and I always make a point of talking about listening.
Right.
Yes.
And yet, I wouldn't say that I haven't listened before. I'm not going to say I didn't. It's just there's an expansion to my listening that it seems like I'm just listening more or deeper. And what's happening is it's allowing me to be more trusting of what comes up for me. When I'm listening,
am I clear? More trusting of what comes up for you.
In other words, I'm more confident about being appropriate in the moment when I'm truly listening.
Right.
So I don't have to second guess myself or try to figure out what the right thing to do is,
right,
it appears.
Well, you know, we often talk in person, when we're in person, to people about listening with your ears and also with your eyes, because if you're actually looking at the person, then you're more likely to hear what they say rather than be thinking or processing what they say. And I noticed something for you on the Monday night after the weekend that was so cool, and I know we had a brief conversation about it on the phone, at least some part of this. There came a point on Monday night where we encourage people who are interested in standing up and talking about whatever's happening in their lives, sharing something, asking questions, whatever. And Eric, you stood up, and you were talking about your experience as a lawyer and in the entertainment industry, and that you do different types of law. And there came a point where, you know, you've also been an entertainer. You're extremely funny, and people were laughing. But what was interesting was you hit that point where people were so captivated that there was this profound silence because they were so busy listening to you that they forgot they existed, which is just one of the magic moments that happens when everybody in a room gets in syncing and is there. You're recalling what I'm speaking about, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And
what I noticed about you, though, was you were listening to them listen.
That's right.
And you did it by looking at them, and you were in sync with their silence. You listened to their silence.
To their attentiveness.
And you were so respectful of that. That's part of what had your cadence and your rhythm and your delivery be so
flawless.
Well, thank you. I also have to say that because I was listening and really present, it wasn't... I used to intend to be funny. I used to try to be funny,
yes.
And it happened a lot because I was well practiced at being funny for decades. And I was either funny at home as a kid or professionally funny. And then over the course of several courses I've taken with you, I saw it as something that I didn't have to do. It was more a being for me. And what happened that night was just I'm funny, and it doesn't matter. As long as I'm in the moment and I'm present and I'm engaged, the way I kind of move through life can often be funny.
Yes.
And that you don't have to work so hard to produce it.
Yeah, and I can produce it in a way that it's a contribution and not a taking from.
Right,
yes.
Not like, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, there was a lot of look at me in the past, which was fine, and people still laughed and had a good time. But, yeah, something definitely shifted, and it was very exciting for me. And it was also, it was, by paying attention to what was happening in the room, I was really able to gauge... That's not quite what I mean to say. I could tell, and I think I stopped and I even mentioned to you guys, in the middle of everything, I was like, I know I'm doing really well. And I meant it in my terms of my well-being, not like I'm killing as a comedian, which was not what I meant. I mean, I know I'm doing well because I look out in the room and I see the awareness and the happiness and the presence of everyone. As a reflection of my state.
Exactly. The thrill of discovery in that moment.
That opened up a completely new possibility for me in terms of being aware of how I'm being perceived and what I'm producing outside of myself.
Rather than your internal conversation about that.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, your internal conversation about yourself will never have the thrill of discovery because it's a tape loop and it's a finite set. It's put together from your past and it's rearranged for different, but it's like you have the same blocks and you rearrange them a little bit, but it's the same thing. So if you're looking to yourself to see how you're doing and your self-perception and your self-image, it's limited. But when you look out to see
how the people around you are doing, you get a sense of how you are doing because they reflect you.
Oh, it was an amazing experience, actually. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Well,
that's the excitement of discovery for me, is I just want to see what happens next.
Yes, and what you'll discover if you're there for it is your story of who you are is inaccurate. The story you've been selling to yourself and to others about you is inaccurate.
Yeah.
When you're really there, you start to discover who you really are, which is a magnificent being, not the story's labeling of you as somehow less than wonderful.
Well, thank you. And I will take that, and I'm not going to disagree with you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, you know, even sometimes if people are proving how good they're doing, that's over top of being afraid they're not doing so well. There, you know, when you're being yourself, there's no proving involved. You're just being, and then you get the feedback from your universe of about you and your greatness, which you are.
Well, thank you. And what's interesting is I didn't have to wait for circumstances to be perfect. In fact, I'm not going to bore people with it, but there's a lot of circumstances that if I were to list them all, they would certainly not match the way my preferences would be currently. But that doesn't have anything to do with showing up.
You mean like circumstances in your life, or if you were to be putting in your order?
Then the circumstances would be different than they currently are.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean that you can't have a magnificent life within your current circumstances.
Correct. Correct. That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah, I was joking about myself at the workshop because there came a point a couple weeks ago. It's largely gone now, but I had some carpal tunnel, so my arm, my elbow, my hand, you know, I'd move a finger and everything would hurt. And I have to admit, I felt a little sorry for myself until one day I went shopping and I'm standing in line and there's this woman joking and laughing and handing over her items to the salesperson. And then I realized she actually only had an arm down to the elbow, and the other, it wasn't a birth defect. She actually had lost it somewhere, and she absolutely wasn't complaining about having to hold things under her arm. She didn't have a hand, and I was like, okay, so you can kid yourself and think your life will be better when your fingers work better and your arm works better, and it's like, no, my life works perfectly right now, and I have an arm.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that, and that's kind of an amazing story.
You know, well, it's really amazing how we can slot circumstances into a mindset that diminishes our ability to experience the moment.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, it's having the experience that I had over that weekend and that Monday is why I immediately, well, on that Monday night, I signed up for the next course.
So, you know, I was quite impressed with that, actually.
Smart of you. You know, the continuity really keeps this thing called living in the moment alive. The more you practice it, engage in it, and put yourself in an environment that is about the moment, the more likely you'll keep it in turbulent circumstances as well.
You know, a lot of people, they think of it in a more allopathic terms. My life is problematic. I'll come to a course. I'll get myself back on track. It's like taking a pill. I'm better now. You go away and diminish your life until you need help again. And I really love it when people catch that there's a whole other possibility, which is with momentum.
Well, you're not stopping and starting and stopping and starting. You get lousy gas mileage in your car if you rush up to 60 and then take your foot off the accelerator until you go down to zero. You know, it's much easier once you get up to speed to stay there if you just bring a little attention to staying at speed.
Yeah, you also make your passengers nauseous.
Yes.
So I think keeping everybody happy, consistency is excellent.
When you said that, it reminded me of when I used to drive with my mother, and she had the habit of putting her foot on the gas and the brake pretty
one
much at the same
each.
Time. Right. So it was a very shaky ride.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't learn how to drive until very late in life.
Oh.
And on that but surprising note.
If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be here now.
That's right. You needed that stop and go.
I needed that shake-up.
Probably why he thinks differently these days.
Right.
Shook his head up a lot as a kid. We have to go, Eric. It was really fun talking
hanging
with you.
Out with us, Eric.
In
yeah.
Thank
England.
You.
Hey, if you want, if you're in New England, by the way, and you want to attend one of his meetups, go to transformationmadeeasy.com and look for the meetups on the left-hand navigation bar. Thank you all for being here. You can also meet Eric in person in Manhattan.
Yes.
At Living a Complaint-Free, Drama-Free Life. And that's it. We have to go.
We have to go.
But we will be back next week.
Yes. So thank you all for being here.
And come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.